code.
Chuck, Chuck.
Can you hear me? I can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself?
No, I can't hear you either.
Are the wrong channel coming up?
Maybe. I can't hear anything.
Just plugged in?
I feel like I'm in a tunnel. Yeah, I'm plugged in, bruh. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just perfect.
I can't hear nothing. Now I hear some humming. Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah.
I guess your headphones were yanked out a little bit.
Now I can hear you and me real good.
Perfection.
Nope, it's not on there. There's some dupes though.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
I looked at it the other day and I thought I saw it on there.
It's proprietary, bro. Oh, dude, that's not cool.
What is it called? Code what?
Oh, dude, that's really not cool. They have one. Oh, dude. They have one with a leather case. Same concept, dude, for $19.99.
Oh, it's that Ray. It's that Xer that I saw on there. So like they're competing, they're basically the same.
Oh yeah.
So
I don't like that one though, because it makes it longer to have the handle, like the wallet's taller to have the handle like built in on the
like
side.
On the side. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of having just like the little flip. Dude. Bro. Look at this, dog. You could get this, Ray. This would be
I'm talking about this sweet wallet. Look at that.
That's the case. Oh, is that the case? Too. It comes with it for $19.99, and
I wonder if it's any good.
Oh, dude, we should buy one to test it. just because it's so cheap
to see if you got swindled.
Oh, I know I got swindled, but I bet it doesn't have. I bet it doesn't have a lifetime warranty. No questions asked.
Is there any RFID blocker? Yep. Probably not.
Oh, does RFID it say it does? Blocking pop up wallet, credit card holder, slim wallet made of 60 same material, 6063 aluminum with clip holder and removable leather case.
Someone really got him,
dude.
That stinks.
Hybrid wallets.
Ruben got me a wallet a couple weeks ago. He got me a wallet, and because he had one, and I was like, dude, that's a sweet wallet. And then of course, once you say that. Amazon or Facebook, Facebook, Instagram, they all just give you those ads because they know. And so Ruben got me the wallet. It's sweet. And now he's like regretting it or something. I don't know. He's like looking
at
Facebook.
No, I don't regret it.
He's looking at Amazon
wallet.
And he's like, oh, Amazon's got the same wallet.
No, it's not the same. It's definitely a dupe for sure.
I was in New York City. I took Christy on a 24-hour date to New York City back in 1997. And we walked up to look at the Statue of Liberty from the pier. And this dude walked up with this trench coat. And he goes, you want some Ray-Bans? And he opens his trench coat.
Oh, no.
And he's got Ray-Bans for $5. So I bought some.
Yes.
They were crap, dude. But it was like, oh yeah, look at me. I got my Ray-Bans.
Dude, I didn't know that Ray-Bans, like the original or like the authentic ones had a... You can look up and you see the RB in the corner of the lens. And I didn't know that's how you tell that they were real or not.
The
and
ones you lift up, they're like RR or RC or something like that.
First mission trip, dude, got swindled hard.
Ruben gets swindled all the time. He's a right before we started recording, he's talking about Facebook Marketplace. He's getting messed around.
Dude, people mess me so bad. They're like, send me your number so we can communicate better. And
oh,
I'm like,
Lordy.
I don't know why I need to learn.
You always
lessons.
Say
like,
yes.
No, I do. I'm like, oh, I mean, this is my cell phone number. That's fine. You can have it. Whether it's actually easier for me because I don't check Facebook Messenger very often, and so I give it up. And then they send me inevitably every time they send me like, hey, sent you a code through my Google Voice account. I'm like,
what are they trying to
stupid.
Do?
I don't just think, no, I never followed through with that. Like once it gets to that point, you're like, okay,
you're like, I'm
right,
out.
Got me again. It's like stupid.
I've only had two. I've only bought something on Marketplace twice. And actually I've only bought something once, but I've actually my experience with Marketplace was a good one, because there was this free desk and I was like, ah, that's actually what we're looking for. So I went, I messaged her. I never gave numbers. We just all through Messenger.
Yeah, and, which is wise, is what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
Never she did give me her address, which it kind of freaked me out a little bit. But I show up, and sure enough, it's the exact same thing I'm looking for. And then while I'm loading it in the truck, she's like, do you have any use for a flat screen TV? And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, I've got this TV too. I haven't used it. And I thought I was expecting just a piece of crap, you know. But no, it's a nice looking TV, brand new. And I said, how much you want for it? She goes, oh, I'll just give it to you. I just need to get rid of it. I was like, then I started asking questions. I was like, so you moving? I didn't know if someone was in there giving away all their stuff, someone else's stuff, you know?
Yeah. Did you recently go through a bad breakup and you're trying to get revenge? Like, what's going on?
What is it? But no, but then my other one, dude, I got that Shure microphone thing on Marketplace.
Oh.
Piece of crap. Yeah,
that was a bad one.
Piece of crap.
Yep.
So I don't know what you do with that. There's no warranty. So you just got scammed, you know?
It's no. And you just hope that, I don't know.
That was kind of a weird deal. But,
you just hope that.
But Ruben's actually loaded up a mattress and met someone in a parking lot that never showed up.
Oh, dude, it was bad. That one's probably my worst experience.
That's terrible.
Like, and I don't know what the end game was for that guy.
Like, what was the point? Was he taking pictures? Like, was he sitting inside going, hey, sucker, I want to get some pictures.
It's yeah, so he's funny. Probably recording me. So he's probably the person in the parking spot next to me, like, just recording me, watch him respond back and forth to him.
Yeah. Never showed up to pick it up. You got a king size mattress in your truck and no one shows up.
Dude, ugh. And mattresses so are the worst because they catch all the wind, dude, and you lose them. So you got to strap those things down with like 50 toe straps, dude.
Oh, that I was you were talking about the worst and I jumped, my head jumped into another rabbit hole because I was transporting mattresses, king size mattresses is the worst. Unless it's in an enclosed truck, it's awful.
No,
and it's
bad.
They bend just right because you're going down the road. We were right before we moved to Costa Rica in 2002. We're going down the highway to Christy's parents' house because we sold our condo, sold our cars. We didn't have anything. We're just the only thing left we had was our bed. And so we're going to move it into their guest room. we're driving up Western Avenue. No, it's on Portland, going north towards their house. Dude, the wind caught that thing just right, zipped all the tie downs off and went, woo, started flying like a kite, landed. And I'm like, no. And so I back up on the highway trying to get back there to pick it up. Christy gets out to make sure that we can actually secure it. And I almost run her over because I'm backing up to get this mattress. And those things flashed before my eyes. I almost ran over Christy trying to get this stupid mattress. Bruised her because I hit her with the car. And then we're trying to strap this thing down. And to this day, no, actually I just threw that mattress away. I just threw it away because that mattress, we had the mattress cover on it and it was stained. And every time I saw it, I was like, stupid. I almost killed my wife. Almost ran over my wife.
Bad memories.
Transporting that stupid mattress. You
should have put her on Facebook Marketplace for free, dude. let somebody come get it.
I took that thing to the dump.
Oh, man.
Because the stinking springs were hitting people in the back. So that was the mattress we bought when we got married. So 24 years old, dude.
Lasted a long time.
Yeah. Moved it too many times.
I'm almost to the point where sleep is so, like, good sleep. And restful sleep is so important to me that I'm almost ready to like spend the money that you need to spend on a good mattress.
I'd be embarrassed to tell you how many mattresses and how much money I've spent on mattresses, because in Costa Rica, there's no such thing as a, you know, 30, 60 day trial, blah, blah, blah. You either get it or you don't. Mm. And man, we bought some expensive. And you wake up in the morning, your feet are falling asleep. They're like, you can't even crawl out of bed because your feet are numb, you know?
Yeah.
But we finally found a great mattress there. And then here, that's the first thing 7 years ago we did is we went to a sleep center. We did the whole thing. They give you a trial period where you can return it if you need to. Best decision of our life, dude. Best decision of our life.
Yeah, one of the most expensive as well.
It's expensive.
I'm willing to bet.
But... Once you get over 40, dude, you almost have to stretch before you go to bed. You're like stretching out your hamstrings and your calf and your feet and your arms. You're like, all right, I'm ready for bed. And you're just stretching because it's the one place you can get injured if you're over 40.
Hey, babe, I'm heading to bed. What are you talking about? It's 7:30. I know.
I got
to
start stretching.
An hour stretching before I jump in there.
No, and I stand beside the bed and I stretch my calves out. And I stretch my plantar fasciitis out. Out and stuff because I'm like, all right, I might get injured tonight.
That's so bad.
But that's what happens when you get over 40, dude. So
and then it's just like, and you try to think about adding a workout in or something. Yeah. You're like, dude, my life's dangerous enough, man. I sleep.
Well, when you walk in on your kids and they're all tangled in a pretzel, and you're like, oh, yeah. How are you alive?
you're like, hey, I went to check on the kids. I'm really concerned. I don't know if they're okay.
Their arms behind their back and their heads are twisted up. Mouths are gaped open. You're like, you checking the pulse? You know?
Pull the blanket back. You're like, is this dude breathing?
Yeah, it's so bad, man. So I got to tell you, I gave you an update on my sleeping, dude. So tape my mouth shut. I think we've already talked about that on the podcast before. Yeah. So I tape my mouth shut. I've got my CPAP machine. Dude, it is amazing. I'm like sleeping so good now. It's like a straight medical treatment. Dude. So Christy's always like concerned that I'm not over there because she said it's so quiet now.
Like for the first time in my life, I didn't know you were
years,
in the bed.
Yeah. First time in 24 years, she's like, she's reaching out, this little tentative hand, you know, reaching over and dude, oh yeah, Ray's there still. Yeah. I can't hear him. Oh man. So anyway, pretty funny.
I went to when we went to Fun on the Run. Yeah. And we got a hotel. Dude, that was so funny. You had taped your mouth shut and I made you laugh about something. I can't even remember what I made you laugh about.
I ripped my mouth off. Well, and the worst thing was, dude, it was 12:14 and Lily calls me. And my phone rings because she's been in my favorites. And I'm like, I'm trying to like talk.
Oh, yeah, mouth taped. I had to rip
it aside. And I'm trying
said,
to,
everything
what
okay?
What are you doing? Is everything okay? Yeah. Like talking on the side of my mouth. So don't waste the one tape that I brought. Oh, so stupid, man. So stupid.
Oh, but man.
Anyway, life is good when you can get a good night's rest. That's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely affects everything. It affects, like, I'm noticing... And probably just because I've been paying attention to it a little bit more is in kids too. It's like it affects everything. I've actually had, I think it was a conversation I had with you that, you know, talking about putting your kids to bed and being the one that kind of like owns that part of the day. And just as a dad teaching your kids how to sleep and all that kind of stuff and the routines that come with it. And I've found ever since I had that conversation, it's been actually we've had some really significant moments with my kids putting them to bed. You know, when you look at it from the perspective of putting them to bed and knowing that it's purposeful and that it's actually beneficial versus like just trying to get them to go to sleep so that you can do what you want to do. It changes everything.
Yep.
Those nights that I'm just like, I'm over it. And I can't tell you how many times I've fallen asleep just laying with my kids. Cause I've been so tired and they're like, "Dad, can you lay with me for a little bit?" And I'm like, I don't do that.
Cause if I lay down, I'm gone.
Jordan, I'll come strolling in the room at like 2:30 and Jordan's like, "Everything okay?" And I'm like, "Yes." Fell asleep in the bed again. fell asleep putting in
Christy
the bed
wouldn't
again.
Christy wouldn't put up with that. She'd be coming to check on me and then she'd be like, "Dude, I've been waiting for you in here."
Yeah. Well, Jordan gave up. She used to do that, but Jordan gave up trying to wake me up because I would get up and I would answer her and then I'd go back to sleep on the couch. That's and funny. She's like, "It's not even worth it because you're not moving until you're ready to move."
This is like such insider information, man, but I've gotten in the most trouble in the last 6 months. And I don't know if I'm just overly tired. I don't know what it is, but I'll sit on the couch and I have to keep my chair upright. Cause if I don't keep my chair upright, as soon as I lean back,
it's over,
dude, I'm gone. And we could be watching a great show. We could be watching a great movie, action packed. Doesn't matter. And because I don't have tape on my mouth, obviously, when I'm sitting on the couch. And so she looks over at me because my body starts jerking. You know, I've got like this jerky leg thing. And then she goes, "Are you falling asleep?" No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm wide awake. And in my mind, I'm telling myself, dude, do not fall asleep. Keep your eyes open. Keep watching. And the next thing I know, dude, I'm so gone. I'm so deep in the hole. And then she's like, "You jerk." And she's like hitting me because I'm like falling asleep. "All you got to do is tell me that we got to go to bed, dude. That's all you got to do is tell me we're going to bed." I feel like an idiot. But so was it 2 nights ago? I think it was last night. I said, "Hey, what happened in that show?" She goes, "You told me you were awake." And I was like, "I just can't remember the last little bit." And so I rewound and it was like 20 minutes.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And she's like, "Ray, you cannot do this to me." And I was like, "Well, I didn't know I was going to fall asleep." She goes, "Ray, as soon as you are horizontal, you are gone, you idiot."
Dude.
So bad.
Oh, Jordan just, she's funny because she knows that I'm falling asleep. And she'll just let me. And so then she'll say things. She'll say the same thing. She's like, "Hey, just tell me, hey, I'm going to bed."
Right.
And but when I tell her, "Hey, I'm going to bed," she's like, "Already?" And she's
too
like,
early.
I'm like, "Jordan, you told me to tell you that I'm just going to bed. I have an underdeveloped frontal lobe. Okay? Like, I need more rest than everyone else, okay?"
That's so funny.
Like, I can't function without sleep. I don't know how she does it. Seriously, I really don't. Cause she'll like I'll wake up at 1:30 in the morning and she's like rustling around, brushing her teeth. I'm like, "Girl, what are you?" She's like, "Yeah, I was editing, long night." And I'm like, "How are you alive? I'm really wondering how you're alive."
It's
going
to catch up with her one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days.
It's going to catch up with her.
Yeah, once she turns, once she hits the threshold, her body's going to shut down. She's going to know what it's really like.
Well, it's like that all-nighter that we shared a hotel room because we were drivers. And it's like, dude, all-nighters kill me. I just can't. I can't do it.
I think we've seen the end. I think we've seen the end of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm done. I won't do them. I'll drive for the night and the morning, but I can't stay up all night, dude.
Well, one of our values is to not ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do. and so I'm like, I'm at that point now where I'm like, I actually don't know if given the opportunity or the responsibility, if I'd be willing to do this anymore.
I know.
Like, it wrecks me. And I get sick every time, man.
Oh,
every time.
That's the worst. It's right there in the pit of your stomach, dude.
You get sick and you're just like, why? Like, who invented this? Who thought this would be a great
idea? Stupid youth bastard.
Let's stay up all night and see how it affects people. And then the students are coming back. They're like, "Man, people get mean when they're
grouchy."
Tired. Yeah, you're right. Because your body needs sleep.
Jeez. Yeah, I think Christy and I don't even know if we've ever, since we've been married, maybe once an all-nighter, maybe, because I just can't handle it, man. I just can't do it. The asking people to do things that you're not willing to do is a deep core value, and that's why every time you're like, "Hey, we're going to do this all-nighter," I just look at you like me. I was like, "Don't ask me to do it, because I'm not doing it, and I'm not making you do it, so if you're the fool that wants to do it, go for it."
Yeah.
Oh, what a mess, man.
So I will never bring up another all-nighter as an option for a youth activity. However, if somebody else brings it up and they really want to do it, I'll say, "Good on you," and I'll drive.
I'm out.
But dude, I think the hotel stay wrecked me because that was the first time I ever went as a driver, and it was kind of by force this time, just the way that it played out. And I
don't know if you could have made it, dude. You were sweating so bad at the first half, dude.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Let's talk about silent disco.
So
for a second.
Silent disco is,
dude,
so fun.
Okay.
I wasn't going
to
do it.
To all of our million listeners, if you've never done a silent disco,
I've seen him on TV.
Highly recommend.
I've seen him on TV, and then we walk into this room. How many students were there? I mean, how many were there?
800.
800. Well, there's all these. It's dark. There's all these glowing lights, and I'm like, I'm just gonna stand here and watch. This is funny. Well, Ruben comes jumping towards me with these headsets. I was like, and he's like, I'm going to get you some. And he hops away like a rabbit to the stage and then hops back with his headphones. And of course, I got on there and I had fun, but not like Ruben. Not like Ruben.
Oh, dude.
I had a good time. And I was singing, I was laughing and, you know, dancing around with the kids, but Ruben had it. Ruben. I did my first line dance, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I've never, ever, Christy will be mad. She won't listen to this, so she doesn't know, but she...
She'll never know you did a line dance.
Actually, someone probably tell her now. No, yeah. But I actually did the, whatever those songs are that have those line dance things, and I actually did a couple of them, and I was like, oh, this is why Christy does it. It's kind of fun.
What was it? It was a Cha-Cha Slide.
Yes, that yeah. one. That one.
Yeah. That's fun. That one's a fun one.
Yeah, so I never done them. But anyway, so Silent Disco. Ruben, I've never seen him. How tall are you, Ruben?
5'10".
5'10". And he was jumping at least 5 feet in the air.
It was awesome.
Silent Disco. I mean, he was like, I saw Ruben as a teenager, like an intermediate teenager again. It was so funny. He's like 13 and having the time of his life.
I think part of the reason I had so much fun was because I knew that I had a bed coming. I think I would have paced myself a little differently if I knew that I was staying up all night.
Here's what's funny is like, he comes up after every song because you switch between three colors. So there's blue, green, and red.
Yeah.
And you see the sea of kids and they're all trying to sing the song that they're on. And then all of a sudden someone will find the song and it's like a wave of color. Yep, everybody flips to red, you know? And so then everybody's singing out loud. It's pretty funny. Well, Ruben comes over and I think we've only been going for 20 minutes. I don't know. It hadn't been that long. And he goes, I am so hot. And he's like pulling his sweatshirt. He's got, how many layers do you have on that night, dude?
Dude, I had, because
it was cold.
Like my undershirt, I had a sweatshirt, and then I had like a vest, like my North Face vest.
So the first thing he does, he strips off his North Face vest and he goes, dude, I'm so hot. Look at my head. And he's like pointing to his head.
I had a hat on. Dripping. I had a hat on. And it held all the ring from the hat held all my sweat. I took it off, dude. It started dripping down my head. I was like, uh-oh.
Down your eyes, stinging your eyeballs. Like, I'm so hot.
I had my glasses on. They were kept sliding down my nose. I was like, I can't even keep my glasses straight.
I never even broke a sweat, even though I was dancing, had a good time. Cause I was like, it's not that hot. And he goes like, it's so hot in here. And I'm like, oh, dude, it's not too bad.
I was in the crowd, dude. I would have crowd surfed if it had
I know
the opportunity.
You would have
been so
would've.
Sweet.
And then, okay. So here's the quiet part out loud. Ruben knows all the modern songs. And I'm like, songs I've never heard of. And I'm like, how do you know the lyrics to this song? Like, I'm just hearing it for the first time, and you're over there singing it word for word. And his excuse, he blamed Jordan. And I was like, oh, he's secretly in the closet listening to all the new stuff on Spotify or something.
Dude, I'm telling you, I surprised myself how many songs I actually knew. And I think it's through osmosis of just being
around young people.
Yeah, people and hearing different things. Jordan,
well, I expected my daughter. I expected my daughter to know the words, but then when Ruben started singing them, I was like, "What is happening here?"
It was a good time.
They weren't going to let us go to our. We weren't going to go to the hotel till 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, then we had to be up at what 6 or 5 or something to take the kids back home. And so I said, "Hey, Ruben, we just need to let's go. Someone can take us. They can stay for all the other stuff, you know." So we got a good night of rest, man. Really good sleep.
And it broke me because having that night rest,
it cured you from
it cured me from ever wanting to go to an all-nighter again. I just don't.
He was semi-guilty until he hit the pillow and then he was gone.
Well, I mean, you go into your REM sleep and you don't think about it.
Here's how guilty he was. He went downstairs and drank the gross hotel coffee. That's how guilty Ruben was because it was disgusting. I just smelled it, dude. I just went, nope, not doing this.
Yeah.
Slinger's kind of. Ruined us a lot.
Slingers will do that to you because it's so good that you're just like anything else is like messes just not doesn't keep up.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about on our all-nighter that wasn't an all-nighter for us, is how important it is for us to pass on something to the next generation, you know, like faith, church experience. Mm-hmm. I think one of the real problems is generation to generation, even in our generation that we received it from our parents or the previous church generation, is like, we misunderstand what church is all about. Mm-hmm. And, we end up going through the motions with things, and then we never truly experience Jesus for ourselves. So being on this all-nighter with the students, one of the things I was watching is just how wildly different their church experience is now than my church experiences was mm-hmm. growing up. Obviously, technology changes things, but one of the things that I kind of broke down to, you know, that same weekend, this was just last weekend, we had a multi-gen service in our church where we brought everybody together mm-hmm. and it was so much fun to see babies to the elderly just all together. And then it really struck me how important it was to, you know, if you want to say pass the baton or at least pass on Jesus, you know, all this other stuff can go away. I don't care. All nighters and, you know, mm-hmm. silent discos and even the music that we listen to or sing in church can all go away as long as we pass on Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of struck me that whole weekend.
Well, and it's interesting because throughout my time in ministry, there's been these, like, I don't know a better word for it. There's probably a better one, but other than like these models of how we do church rather than the true meaning and the purpose of church. And it's so easy to get caught up in because it's done a lot of times in the name of wanting to reach more people. And it starts, I think, well-intentioned.
Yeah, I think so.
And so you lift your head up, you look around. Social media has really affected this. And just the access that we have to all sorts of information and just what other people are doing, that we grab onto these different kingdoms, if you will.
Yeah, kingdom. Like, that's a good word.
You look at the things that other people are developing and producing, and you look at how other people are experiencing life, and it's so easy to get caught up in just the methodology of everything mm-hmm. instead of passing on Jesus.
Yeah.
And how you do that, like, it really is, culture has become really, really important to, I think, not only, you know, what we're doing here at Bethel, but like just my personal life in my home. Like, what is the culture of paying attention to the culture that I'm setting in our home and in our family? What's our family culture and the people that we're around? Do they see Jesus, or do they see religion or a way of doing things that is right or wrong per se?
Well, and that's why everything we do in a church setting, it's important to ask ourselves every once in a while why we're doing it, mm-hmm. because things become so like rote and so like monotonous, sort of like just mm-hmm. traditional, that we don't even know why we're doing it. And so one of the things that we talked about even today was just like, as we lead our kids in prayer, what are we showing them or what are we teaching them? Is it pray with your eyes open or play with your eyes closed? Or do you clasp your hands like in a prayer symbol before you? Like, why do we do all these things? And it's like, it's really important in my opinion to step back and say, okay, here's why we close our eyes. We don't have to. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray while you're driving, you know? Mm-hmm. Here's why it's a good idea if you're fidgety to clasp your hands. And all it is just centering your attention on the moment. And today there's so many distractions that probably more than ever, we probably should close our eyes and clasp our hands, because there's always something going on around us to take our attention. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping secretly, like in my heart, secretly, I'm hoping that the next generation will just do things so different as far as methods and about the way they do things that they'll show us, I don't know, a new way, I guess, because Jesus for the last 2,000 years has transcended every culture and every method, every way of doing things, even doing church indoors or, you know, on a Sunday or two services or all the things that we do today that we would consider very normal mm-hmm. as far as church goes, you know, singing and, you know, when I was a kid, it was hymns and you sing first, second, and fourth verse, not the third verse, who knows why, all that. You know what I'm saying? It's like that stuff has changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping and I'm excited to see what the next generation is going to do to reach people or to share the message of Jesus. And maybe it'll look wildly different than what we're doing right now. As long as yeah. we can pass on Jesus, you know, as long as Jesus is the one that's making the difference in our lives. This also goes into what we're elevating is important to kids. Is it going through the motions of community and church, or is it truly understanding scripture for themselves? Like, here's how you read scripture, and here's how you ask the Spirit to lead you to truth, and here's the truth you can garnish from here, and here's why it's important for you to read the Bible by yourself, and you probably should check out the pastor, make sure he's saying the right thing, and make sure he's not just off doing some weird, you know, one of his own preferences. Mm-hmm. But here's what scripture says and how to actually think about it. It'd be really important to, those are the things that I want to pass on to the next generation.
And I think we can hold it loosely with an open hand, knowing that, and be okay with the next generation doing something different when we are diligent to continually ask ourselves mm-hmm. whose kingdom are we building? Because mm-hmm. if we get caught up in building our own kingdom and our own desires, and kingdom simply, we had this conversation the other day, like when we talk about the kingdom, we're talking about like whose will is being carried out. Like, yep. is it what I want? Is it my will and my desires and my wants and my you know, preferences, or is it truly the will of the Father?
Yeah.
Because I can let something go, and that's actually a good like kind of test that you can run for yourself is like, if this were all to go away, would I be mad about it?
Mm.
And if so, why?
Why? Yeah.
Is it because I am proud of what I've been able to build, or am I proud of the work that God has done and grateful for the work that God has allowed me to be a part of?
Mm-hmm.
Because that will allow you to look into a future generation and to say, it's probably going to look different and probably going to probably even ruffle my feathers a little bit because I didn't do it that way, or yeah. We will do things differently in our generation than the generation that comes after us. And we can be okay with that, knowing that it's not our kingdom that we're building.
Yeah. Well, it could be insecurity that's talking there. Cause one of the questions that we would ask ourselves is, they're not doing it like we did it, so they're saying that we did it wrong, instead mm-hmm. of, in our generation, in our time, this is what we did because we were following Jesus and this is where he led us. But in their generation, maybe there's going to be something different. It's not a question of right or wrong. So there's no threat here. You
right.
know,
yeah.
I've told you, and now I'm going to tell anybody, you know, the millions of people that listen to this podcast, but my secret like desire is to disappear and no one even ask questions about where I am. Because the thing just kept going forward because it's not about me or you or anybody in particular. It's about the mission. It's about Jesus, about community. And so for me to one day disappear and people are like, I haven't seen Ray in a while. I wonder where he's at, you know, mm-hmm. and it could be a year later. You know, it's like the thing's going forward because it's not like my DNA does not have to be on this. As long as people come and find Jesus, they don't need to find me. Mm-hmm. We had a saying about 6 years ago, I think I don't know if I was reading something or maybe Francis Chan, I was listening to it. I don't remember. But he made this statement, how sad would it be if people come to your church to look for Jesus and they find you? It's like that struck me to the core. And really what we've been trying to experience here at our church is I want people to come and find Jesus. They don't need to find me. I want to actually be out of the way mm-hmm. so that Jesus is the most important. And I think that's the one thing that if we can pass on to our kids, grandkids, the next generation is man, we just want them to find Jesus, and we want when people come to this place that they'd find Jesus, you know.
I read that quote in I feel like it was in Carrie Newhoff's book, Didn't See It Coming.
Oh. Interesting.
So, but maybe he got it from
I don't know. I saw it
a transferred idea.
Man, I need to Google search it. It doesn't matter. There's nothing new under the sun.
Dude, I almost said that same thing.
I stole
thing.
It right out of your mouth.
You did.
Dude.
You ripped it. Yeah. Cuz we talked about it last night in students about technology and how there's all these new advancements, but yet the heart of man, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. The desires that we find ourselves giving into and chasing after, they've been doing that for centuries, you know, and
millennia, really. It's interesting. I was talking to Christy last night, because you think about 100 years ago, and 100 years ago, we were talking like some places still just had wagons, no roads, electricity, indoor plumbing. There's stuff that was just 100 years ago. I can't even imagine as quickly as things are moving what the next 100 years are going to bring. It's so wild. And I think this is going to be the opening to our final segment, because I have to leave. I just realized I got to pick up my kids here in a minute. So, final segment.
I am the greatest.
Somebody stop me.
There it is. I did not have.
It's one small step for man.
The part you missed last time.
I did miss that one. Yeah.
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
And now, the rest of the story.
You don't know Jack. Wagon. All right, so I have a couple things. I'm gonna see if you brought anything. So here's the first one, which is unfair. I kind of already gave you this one. Why is the Book of Enoch not in the Bible? Do you know why the Book of Enoch is not in the Bible?
The answer is no. I did start doing some research. We had a listener that wrote in about it, and so I started kind of doing some a little bit of research on it, but I did not come to any sort of articulatable conclusion, if that's a word.
No, that's a good
like
word.
I wouldn't feel confident to articulate any sort of reasonable answer.
I think there's several answers, but the bottom line is when they went through the canon of scripture, which is like how we got our books, this one was not inspired. There's some error in it. And because there's some error in it, it's not an inspired by the Holy Spirit book, even though it's referenced by Jude. So the book of Jude references Enoch, but it's not in scripture, just like Paul would reference modern day poets or reference, even Jesus used the saying, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. So those were modern day sayings and references, poetry, books that even Jesus mentioned, but doesn't mean they're in scripture. So the Book of Enoch is one. It's a fascinating book, though. It's a big one. And it's really interesting. And I think it's worth the read, but not as scripture, you know, not as divinely inspired. That's probably an unsatisfying answer, but there it is. Hey, did you know that there was this Chinese balloon that flew over the United States last week?
No.
A big, massive, like several ton payload. It was unmanned. It was just a big, they called it a big weather balloon, but it was like a secret spy balloon. And they finally shot it down. I think it was yesterday or Sunday. Maybe it was yesterday, yeah, Sunday. Once it went all the way across the United States, they shot it down over the ocean right by the Carolinas. But they waited. It was like a several ton payload on it. Like solar panels and who knows what all.
Why?
And it was navigated. I don't know why they didn't shoot it over, like while it was over Montana, to shoot that thing out of the sky, you know, but nope.
So, and what was the purpose of it? Did they say?
They said the Chinese, I think there's several reports, but the Chinese say that it was just a meteorologist meteorological. I can't even say that word. Basically a weather balloon, like just studying weather. But the United States says it was a surveillance balloon. And then I heard a report that there was another one over Central America. So I don't know what's up with that. Very weird.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So what about you? Got anything?
No.
You had some good ones, man. The other day, you've got me a few times. But I can't remember what they are.
I'm trying to think of what I know that you don't know.
Oh, there's lots. There's lots. Just in these moments under pressure, you can't think of them. No, that's why I take notes on my phone, dude.
I need to
whenever
start
I think
that.
Of something, I put it in my phone. Like as soon as that weather balloon came out, I put it on my phone like last week because I'm like, oh, here we go.
He's never gonna know.
Ruben's
about
not
that.
Gonna know, even though the whole country, the whole world knows, but Ruben's not gonna know. Jack.
I love this segment because you said that you would never curate the news for me, but this is kind of like you're curating the news for me.
I am. Oh.
Because now I get to find out about things that
do you know
maybe
anything about the military in the Philippines at all? Like U.S. military in Philippines?
I don't.
Oh, so this is another thing. So the U.S. took over the Philippines after the World War II with the Japan, took over the Philippines as a U.S. territory. Well, then they turned over sovereignty to the Filipinos. And for the first time in a long time, the U.S. is going back to the Philippines with military as rental space from the Filipinos, the Philippine government, so that they can keep their eyes on China. So it's kind of a, not because of Japan, but because of China. So kind of an interesting thing. That's a new development this weekend, Ruben.
Mm.
So the world is a crazy place, dude.
Did you know that social media has, I already asked you this. Never mind. Forget it. I got nothing.
Did you know that social
nothing.
Media was addictive? Yes.
Dear Lord.
We know that.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go, man. I'm actually going to be late. And did you know that I'm going to get in trouble if I don't pick up my kids on time?
That I did know.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
Because you have time blindness.
I do have a mental illness. Is this called time blindness?
Dude, did you hear me? Yeah.
Like, that was so good, man. I like connect. You dropping the, I like you dropping the wisdom on people. Time blindness.
I said, dude, it's not your fault, Ray. You have an underdeveloped frontal lobe, and
it's good.
You cannot see time accurately.
Did you not? You know, you're a jackwagon. Your frontal lobe is not developed. You can't see time.
Oh, dude, I said you can't expect to be a neurotypical person.
No,
dude.
No, I've got to be atypical.
You're messed up.
Peace.
Yeet.